Okay, welcome to the lab. So this is our teaching lab, and this is the control room for where we control for the experiments. Here we have two computers. This side is dedicated to data gathering, and that side for presentation of the stimuli. Here we have also a monitor for where we can observe the participant while he or she is in the experiment. It's not on right now. No picture there. And if you could follow me here we have some supplies and material that we need when we prepare the participants. And it's always a good idea to go this through with the participant as well before you start doing anything, because things like this can be a bit intimidating looking. This is blunt actually, and it's only used to apply the electrolyte gel to the cap. Okay, and then let's move on to this side of the laboratory. Here we have this is the technical department. Here are the computers and some of the stimulus equipment that we are using. This computer here is the acquisition computer, and this is the brain of the recording system, and this computer is the stimulus delivery computer. Here we have some other equipment as well. We have, for instance, here we have the I don't know what these are called, electrical stimulators, where we can deliver some cutaneous electrical shocks to the participant. They are not like shocks, like they would be painful, but they are just like if we want to use tactile stimulation. What else? Then we have this trigger box here, which I think is a bit too technical thing to explain right now, but it's used to tag different occurrences or stimulus events while the experiment is running. And on this side, here we have this is the Faraday cage, the chamber for the participant, and the walls of this cubicle here are electrically insulated, so that it minimizes the electrical interference. It's not very well sound proofed, so that's why we have this other wall here separating the participant's side from the control side, so that no noises enter from this side to here. So here is this is where the participant is seated during the experiment. Or if we are doing some sleep recordings, the participant could of course be sleeping on the bed here. That's not very frequently used anymore, because nowadays I think the most of the sleep related research is done in people's homes. These are the amplifiers. So we have three similar amplifiers that can all be connected together, so that we could have 128 EEG channels. Each one of these amplifiers has 32 EEG channels plus 8 bipolar channels that can be used for recording some other things like GSR, EMG, EOG, ECG, or movement, or whatever. But today we are only going to use one of these, because we are just using 32 EEG channels. Then here we have a display, so that we can present the participant with visual stimuli and also information about the experiment if needed. We have a two-way auditory connection, so that we can hear what the participant says or what happens in here. And we also have a microphone on that side so that we can give some instructions or ask the participant how he or she is feeling right now. Then we have a camera here so that we can see the participant while the experiment is running. And of course it's necessary to tell the participant that there is a video camera here and we are not recording anything with it, we are just observing him or her. And of course we have different speakers here in the ceiling. We have one, a flat panel that can be used to deliver auditory stimuli, or we have some external speakers here on the floor, and of course you can modify this lab according to your needs. Then we have another display here. It's used for checking the signal quality while we are putting the cap on. So while we are preparing the participant here, we can see the EEG channels here all the time. So I think that's about it. Did I leave something unsaid? Probably not. So let's put this on your shoulders to cover your clothing. Okay, first thing to do is to figure out what size of the cap we are going to use. So we are first measuring the circumference of the head. It's 57, I think we have a cap size 56 here, and I think it will be fine. It's usually a good rule of thumb that if you have to choose between two caps, take the smaller one. They come in the, we have 60, 56, 58, 60 sized caps, so I think the 58 would be fine for you. Oh, sorry, 56. And the next thing to do is to, we need to figure out where is the center or the CZ location in your head. And for that we are going to use the measuring tape as well. So first we take the nasion to inion distance. Inion is the bump on the back of your head, right here, where the soft tissue in your neck ends, and then there's this when the bone starts, that's the inion part. So we measure the distance between the nasion and inion. Nasion is the dent on the above your nose. So I would say that this is 37. So half of that will be 18 and a half, right? It will be here. So I'll just hold my finger there. And now the next measure that we are going to need is the interauricular distance. And it's the distance from preauricular point in front of your ear. It's not that necessary to know the exact location of that, just as long as you use the same point on both sides. So we can measure this, or we can apply a more lazy approach to this, and it's just by using your hands to do this. So here you placed your thumbs and then figure out with your fingers that the part that we are touching is this, the center. So we could make a mark here, we could use some kind of a eyeliner or stuff like that to make a small dot here, but I think for this purpose it's now okay to just put on the cap. Now, in the cap, there is, in this cap, there is the, where is it? Electrode number 18 somewhere here. So this is the electrode CZ, and that goes to the center point of the head. And while this is being held at place, the cap can be then put on the participant, and the participant can help herself here. It's somehow stuck now. And then we'll attach the strap below the chin. And there are many different variants of the EEG caps. In this case, this cap has 64 channels, of which we are going to use only 32 today. And we are going to use this red system. So as you can see, it's according to the 1020 system. There are, this is called the FZ, this is CZ, that this is PZ, and so forth. So the midline is named after the frontal, central, parietal, and occipital. How do you pronounce that? And the then if you want to use a more high definition EEG, then you also apply the blue system, which would then double the amount of electrodes. And they are, so every other electrode is blue and every other is red. And these red ones, they are 32 of them, and we connect that to the first amplifier. And if you want to use the whole 64 electrodes, you just plug in the other plug to the other amplifier. So here, this goes to the amplifier 1, which is the only one that we are going to use today, and this is amplifier 2, which we are not going to use today. So we are only preparing 32 electrodes. And of course, because it takes time to prepare these electrodes, the amount of time that is needed is only the half, with half the amount of the electrodes, so it goes a bit faster. Sometimes it doesn't really pay off to put any extra electrodes, because depending on your experimental design. So next thing that we are going to do is that we need to clean at least a couple of these electrode locations very carefully. So this is the ground. It can also be a disposable electrode somewhere else, but in this version it's in the cap. And this is the reference. And if either one of these has a poor connection, then the whole data acquisition is ruined. So first we are going to use some alcohol and this kind of a cotton swab, especially for the reference and ground, it's quite crucial to clean them thoroughly. So this electrode type is a ring. The contact surface is on the inner surface of the ring, and so we need to make a contact between the scalp and that inside surface of the electrode by applying electrolyte in there. But before that, we first make a small cleaning here. The better you clean this the better your result, so take your time. And this could then be done to all electrodes, but especially to these. So the next step, at least for these two electrodes, there are different practices and different researchers have their own preferences on how to do this. But we could, especially for those two electrodes, we could use this abrasive electrolyte. So this is basically the same kind of gel that we're going to use for other electrodes, but it has these tiny particles that scrape the surface of the skin a bit. Like this. And this. Okay. We are not going to do that for other electrodes unless necessary, and we can determine whether it's necessary while we are making the final adjustments. But for the rest of the electrodes, now we will be using this syringe, and remember this is blunt, and remember to tell that to the participant before he or she sees it. And usually these electrodes here near the ear are quite difficult to apply because the pressure is not very strong and the signal quality in here might not be that optimal because there are muscles nearby and they might interfere with our attempt to record brain activity. Okay, now we have all the electrodes filled with gel. It's probably not working quite well yet. We need to check all the impedances in the cap, and for that we need to hook up the participant to the amplifier system. And in this system we have a dedicated impedance test display. And what we can see here is that all our electrodes are out of range, so they are probably, well, that's obvious because the participant is not hooked up with the system yet. So let's go to this side. This is here. And give me the this. And now we are connecting the participant to the amplifier system. So it's the amplifier 1, which we have here. And actually someone else has been doing an experiment here, so they have been using other electrode system. I need to remove them. And by the way, it's always a good practice that you leave the lab as it was. I'll just take this other system out because they might actually give us some interference if they are connected to the amplifiers. So let's take it away for a while. Now, we have this other display here behind the curtain. And as we can see, there are some green dots there, but most of the dots are red. It means that the impedance is too high. It needs to be somewhere, well, it's the desirable that the impedance is less than 5 kilo ohms. And it's indicated by that display. Now can I have this and the other one as well? So what we need to do now is start adding some gel, maybe doing some hair rearrangement over there. But it's always a good idea to start with the reference and the ground, because it affects all the quality of all recordings. Okay. So now we can see from the display that the FZ, which is here, and the ZZ are fine because they are green. They are the midline electrodes. But for instance, the BZ is red. So I'll just non-scraping the PZ and let's see what happens with it. Now it turns yellow. This feel bad?
No, it feels now, nice.
Okay, now it's green. And you can start doing the same for all the electrodes that are red there. So at least these electrodes are red. And if this doesn't help, then we have this wooden sticks, which is it scrapes a bit the surface of the scalp, so that helps in this task as well. Most crucial for our current purposes are the C4 and C3 and the midline electrodes here. Okay, I think that's good enough. And now I'll switch on the signal display so that we can see the EEG. So we stop the impedance test and start the measurement session. And as you can see here, it's not recording anything, but we can monitor the response, the EEG, and things are looking quite good. Now I'll put the all electrodes on. And we could actually go to the other side to talk to the participant with this. So now we can see what happens in the EEG as a function of what you do. So. Yeah, try to relax. You can still look at it, but try to just be relaxed. And as you can see, there are a couple of signals that are a bit thick. It probably means that there are muscle artifacts there. And we can try to exaggerate that a bit. Could you move a bit? As you can see, every time you move your neck muscles, it does that. Could you bite your teeth together quite strongly? Yeah, you can see that creates lots of artifacts. Can you then blink? Okay, close your eyes like very strongly. Yeah, you can see that they create artifacts here. Could you move your eyes from left to right constantly, so we can see that it creates a small, this kind of a shift there. So the all the muscle artifacts, all movement, all eye movement, they tend to be visible in our data, which is not a good thing. So that's why it's usually advisable to make the participant aware of this, but it's not advisable to say to the participant that you should like try not to move or try not to blink at all, because that only makes the situation worse. So if you need to move about and change position, just feel free to do that. We will lose the data on that point, but it's okay, because just try to relax. So in the experiment, it's a good thing. It would be a good thing if you could just stare at one point or keep your gaze in somewhere. Just choose a point and keep your eyes there, unless otherwise instructed. And you can just leave your hands to be like they are and just try to be comfortable. And if you need to do that, just do that. Okay, now we'll check that we have this auditory connection there. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. And we have a camera via which we can observe you. We are not recording anything, it's just that we can see the participant there. At, she's not sleeping or anything. Okay. It's also necessary to remember to turn off the mic from this side when the participant is there, so that there won't be any unnecessary noises disturbing the participant. Okay, now we can try to see whether if we can see some alpha activity. So try to relax and just stare ahead of you. So here, especially in the back of the head, like in this P and O areas, there should be alpha when she closes her eyes. So if you could close your eyes now and just try to relax. So we have a very clear alpha rhythm here. So you can see that the signal, yes, this is beautiful alpha here. And now if you open your eyes, so we see an artifact there, and then the EEG starts to be look very different from the alpha activity. So I think we can see that very clearly when in our experiment. Okay, and now I'll switch off, or I don't switch it off, but it, if this was a real experiment, maybe it's good even to switch it off, but I'll just put it behind the curtain. And then we'll start doing the recordings. The first one will be alpha blocking. We will be just recording 2 minutes eyes closed and 2 minutes eyes open, and then we'll compare the EEG in those situations. We'll compare the ongoing EEG. I'll switch some lights off from here. Maybe I do think this is more comfortable than this.
I think those ones are better because that one is straight ahead of me.
Okay, I'll leave it like this. And then we'll start communicating via the microphone, and I'll shut this door right now. If you have anything to comment on, and remember, if you don't want to continue, you can just say so at any point. Okay. So first we shut this electrical insulation door, and then we'll shut this noise insulating door. And now you should hear us through the mic, okay? So the first experiment is the alpha blocking, and I'll just now start it. I'll enter zero first, so it doesn't record anything in here. And let's leave it like that. And it's always advisable to first make sure that the recording is on and the participant knows what is expected from her, and then start the experiment so that you don't lose any data and the participant knows what to do. So your task is just to close your eyes and keep them closed when you hear a small tone. And then you will, after 2 minutes, you will hear the tone again, then you should open your eyes. If you don't open, then I'll tell you to open your eyes. So nothing is required from you, just relax.
Okay.
Are we clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And now I'll start the recording. So now, now I'll switch on off the mic, so we can still hear you, but you can still you cannot hear us. So is this clear?
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll start. And here we can see that there is lots of this alpha activity in these posterior channels, like from P to O, but not in the frontal channels or central channels. Now I didn't look at the timeline here when we started the experiment, but this phase lasts for 2 minutes, after which there is a small beep in there and she should open her eyes, and we are probably going to observe that this alpha activity ceases to be there. Of course, as you can see, the alpha activity is not there at all times, but there are longish periods of quite clear alpha. And now she opened up her eyes and we can see that the alpha disappeared. One thing that is missing now is that there should have been a signal, a tag, which there was not. And I need to check the reason for that. But it's okay, this experiment is not that heavily dependent on that. And as the participant becomes a bit drowsy, the amount of alpha might actually increase, even though the eyes are open. Okay, thank you. Now I'll stop the recording. And now we are going to try another experiment. Are you still awake?
Yeah.
Good. So I'll switch on the finger rolling experiment. This is named so because we originally had an element here where a person was actually rolling an earplug between her fingers. So there are three kinds of trials in this experiment. So each trial lasts for 12 seconds, and there is a mark or orientation text there that should like tell you what to do. Like, and they are, prepare yourself to imagine movement of the left arm or right arm, or to do nothing. If it says do nothing, just be there, eyes open, try to stare at the fixation cross in the middle of the screen, and just do nothing. But if it says that you should imagine moving your left or right arm, try to imagine something, some kind of activity where you would specifically move that arm, like hitting a tennis ball with a racket or dancing with just moving that arm or anything like that. Do you think you can think of something like this?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, good. Then we start the experiment. As previously, I'll first put the record, start this data acquisition, and as you can see, it's not recording. It's a very good thing that it's quite explicitly saying that it's not recording anything. So you first put the recording on, and then you start the experiment. Okay, now we can concentrate on these C channels, and we see marks over there. 16 means that she doesn't have to do anything, so let's relax. 4 is probably right arm, and 8 is left arm. So let's see what happens. That is 8. Left arm, so it means that here the C channels should show different amounts of that sensory motor rhythm activity. Could you enhance this signal a bit by pressing this button here? Yeah, that's better. So here, 16, let's do nothing. So there should not be a difference here. But what we are looking for is that regular alpha-like activity, that's 8. That should be asymmetrical between the between C3 and C4. C3 is left and C4 is right. But this task is quite difficult, so it's, and it's usually not visible here in the raw signal. We need to do some calculations and cleaning of the data before we can observe the difference. But maybe something like this would be what we are looking for. And here we can see the effect of eye blink. It's in all channels. Oh, by the way, there's only 10 channels visible here. We are recording 32, but that's made visible 10 of them. Since number 8, it means the left arm. So we should see more of this idling on this side, which I think we might actually have seen. I hope you find this interesting.
Sure.
So next we are doing a P3 related experiment. It's auditory oddball experiment. And for this we are not going to use E prime. Instead we are going to use this small box that I have made myself. And I apologize in advance that this is going to be annoying. So we are going to use this. This has a 5 euro or 10 euro Arduino chip inside there, plus some cheap electronics. And because the timing is quite crucial in oddball experiment, it's, for me at least, it's been better to use this kind of a chip, microchip, to control for the experiment because it doesn't do anything else except the experiment controlling. Then we don't have to care about jitter and delay problems. And we need to do a slight modification to the system, because now we need to use this to trigger the pulses to the acquisition computer. So it's, and because this is custom made thing, this is one of those things that you just need to remember to uncouple, because other people who are coming to the lab afterwards will find it a bit annoying if there are my own viritys, as we say it in Finnish, and they couldn't figure out what it's about. So this is very simple. When I put this on, the experiment starts. That's a bit too loud. And of course, if you were doing real experiments, you would have to determine the amplitudes of this tone, but I think this is good for us now. So it's like this. And we have two versions of this experiment. The stimuli are always the same, but the condition where the participant is different. So in this first part of the experiment, you should read the magazine. I hope you can find some interesting articles there.
Yeah.
And just read that and try to ignore this beeping completely.
Okay. How about moving my hands if I'm reading? There's not much on one.
Yeah,
page,
I think we cannot avoid that.
Oh, I can read it again and again and again.
Sure, but no, you can change the page.
Okay.
And as I said, we are going to lose some trials because of your movement, but it's okay. Because we are going to still have some other trials. So because this is not controlled from there, we need to run back and forth when we are doing this experiment. But first thing I need to do is to make a minor modification here. And I put the E prime trigger connector off and put this Arduino connector here to say that now this is controlling the experiment. And as I said, because this is a custom built thing, you just don't let that be like that when you go out from the lab. Okay, now it should be controlling for our experiment. As before, we start the acquisition. We check that everything is okay. And then we start recording. And it doesn't harm us to record some extra material, so we can just push the record button and start recording, and there's nothing going on right now. And then we go here and start the experiment. So, and this is going to last maybe 8 minutes, so just have fun.
Okay, thank you.
And what we can now observe here are two things. Here are the trigger two means in this case it's standard, and one means deviant. And as you can see, there's not much in the ongoing EEG. You cannot see that there's a response. But in this other display, this is averaging the responses, and especially this standard part here. You can see it's quite clear, quite fast creating event related potentials. You might also observe that the tone does not come at even intervals, so it's like a bad tremor, which is even more annoying. But that's because we need to control for the effects that the untrained oscillations might have. I'll explain that better. And this event-related potentials might, in this case, be a bit plagued by other processes going on. They are not that nice looking. Maybe we need to clean the data before you can see very clear. There are probably some eye movements involved here, there, and if there is an eye movement, even in a couple of trials, it might distort the amplitude of the event-related potential. But especially here in the frontal areas, we are observing to see, in this case, not the P300 response because she's not attending to the stimuli, but we should see a mismatch negativity response roughly here. which we cannot really determine from this display right now. Because there's this slow shift here which we should somehow remove when we process the data. Okay, we'll do the same thing again with just one minor modification. You should count the number of infrequent deviant tones. So I know how many deviants there are, and let's see if you can count the same number as there should be. And you should keep your gaze fixed somewhere as much as possible. But that's all. So count the number of the deviants. Okay, so now she's counting the deviants, which means that she's paying attention to the infrequent occurrences. And what that should give us would be a P3 response somewhere in these regions. At about, this is a simple task, it should be about at least latency here in comparison with this standard, it should be relatively flat here. Oh, sorry, I have the other way around, this is the standard and this is deviant. The scale might be a bit different, and it actually might be that I have different filter settings for both. In both cases, so it might not be that visible for us. And there are also some slow fluctuations here which we actually should get rid of. Okay, thank you very much. We are all done now. So I can now remove you from the, or uncouple you from the amplifiers, and then you can take these in there, and you could go back to the where we started from. Okay, and now you can take the cap off.
Feels good.
Finally free. And you can use that to wipe off the edges. Okay, and now we can check that. We did these recordings today. And here we made one extra recording as well. But here is the eyes open, eyes closed. Recording. Okay, so this was what we recorded today. This is the eyes open, eyes closed experiment, and here is a tag saying to the participant that now you should close your eyes. And if we zoom in a bit in amplitude, we can see that there's lots of alpha activity here. Eyes are closed at this point, there's a small artifact from the closure of the off eyes, and after which we can see that there is lots of this alpha activity, especially in P3, P4, O1, O2 areas in the back of the head. And we can scroll through that, and we see that that pattern prevails. There's lots of alpha, and at some point there is this other mark or tag. Let's scroll here. There's mark 2, and as you can see, there's, I'll zoom it a bit larger. There's alpha here, and here the eyes are opened. Again, some artifact after opening of the eyes, but after that, the alpha activity is pretty much gone. Okay, I'll close this. Then we have this imaginary movement experiment. Where we also have these tags. Let's put this and this is C3, C4, this couple here. And well, I cannot really say what is it 16? Tag number 16, which means rest. So there should be no difference between the sides. That's also number 16. Well, I cannot tell what these tags are. That's 8. And if I remember correctly, 8 was left. I'm not sure. But now there should be a difference in how much there's this sensory motor activity between this and this electrode. And it is not really well visible by naked eye. But it might be that I hope these are like this. If there are any differences, it's not visible to the naked eye, so we probably need to do some data processing before we can see anything. Okay, the last thing to do is to clean everything up and leave the lab as it was when we came here. So it means that all the, of course, the obvious rubbish should be removed, and we should clean the cap and the syringes and leave them to dry and put everything in cabinets and lockers and where they belong to. And it's usually good advice that it doesn't matter if someone else had left the lab in objectionable condition, it's no excuse for you to do the same. So if you see something out of shape, you should correct that. But okay, let's go to the maintenance room and clean up the cap. So this is the maintenance room. Unfortunately, the maintenance process is going on, so there is this dryer in working order. But first, we need to get rid of all the extra material, the syringes, and they should be clean thoroughly. And these metal heads should actually be left in alcohol, so we should disinfect them in between participants. And as for the cap, it's a bit of a nuisance to clean up because every single one of these electrodes needs to be cleaned thoroughly under running water with a brush like this. So it takes a while. But if that gel is left there, it actually dries up and slowly builds up an insulating layer, which is not good for your recording. So this has to be done very carefully.